Bibles, and we'll turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we will be reading verses 9 through 13. I want to pick out those particular scriptures. Could read the entire book in that chapter, the entire verses. I think 17, I don't know how many is in there. Let me see. Yeah, 23, but we'll just go with these few scriptures to make our point on this morning. Just want to point out a few things. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 13. But I don't know how many people under the sound of my voice on this morning has ever been to Rome. But there is evidence of the buildings that have endured from generation to generation. This evidence exists because of the materials that was used. Can we read the text right quick? For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. Before I even proceed with the other verses, in the text, I want you to recognize three things that describe who we are. And even in verse 9, it says that we are laborers, we are God's husbandry, which means a field or which is a resource, and we are God's building. So we got to understand that. Going back to verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builded thereon. But let every man take heed how he builded thereupon. Let me read that again. But let every man take heed how he builded thereupon. For our foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So, can I break this down this morning? I don't want you to miss this. What the laborer does, the field is for the purpose that serve the people, and the building is the evidence from generation to generation. Let me get in position with this, because I want you to get this real good understanding of what we're going to be talking about on this morning. So, when you think about this, because Paul traveled through the Roman Empire, he witnessed the disparity between the rich and the poor. He saw the massive stone structures of the rich. Then right next to those impressive buildings, he saw the flimsy homes where the slaves were forced to live. One type of structure was built to last forever, whereas the other type was so raggedy that it wouldn't last a lifetime. So, Paul urged the Corinthians to be careful about how they lived and built their lives. He used this comparison as an illustration. His point was this. Although all believers have the solid rock of Jesus Christ under their lives, what they build on top of that foundation is so very important. My question to you this morning is, which one are you? I want you to think about that for a minute. Which one are you? Gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble. Paul had traveled to Rome, and of course, Paul was a Roman citizen. If you do the research on Paul, he said that he, the ones that read their Bible, that he was from the tribe of Benjamin. Do you remember when they took Paul in front of the courts and he exercised his right Amen. As a Roman citizen?
Yes.
And the things that they were wanted to do to him, they couldn't do yes. to him because of his Roman citizenship. Y'all remember that? Paul had been in Rome and he recognized the disparity of one side of the other. In other words, he's seen how the south side, how they building all the Nike places and you can
okay,
go to, y'all ain't gonna say that. You can ride out by Milwaukee and all that kind of stuff. You can notice the disparity. And then you can ride on the east side and you can see the dilapidated homes and you can see there's no business. I'm just giving you a mental picture. And so Paul was looking at this disparity and he wanted to use an illustration about how they built on the foundation that was already laid. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
We understand that Jesus is the foundation that we build upon.
Yes.
But what type of material are you using to build upon the foundation that is already laid? I can go outside right now, and I believe that if me and Mr. Terry go and we walk around the yard, or we can look, it's an old tree in the front that I thought was dead, but it seemed like it still got some root in the ground, and it grows back, but I could break some of that off because part of the stubble is like branches and stuff like that. I can go out there, and I can go pick it up right now, and I can scrape some of that dead grass to be able to say that this is the hay part of it. It's not that hard to be able to go out and do that, and he recognized that these slaves are the ones that had to live under these conditions the way they had to build their house and live. If you look at the population of the Roman Empire and you see that the slaves that was present during that time, it really outnumbered the Roman citizens by 3-1. It was more slaves than it was actually Roman citizens. And they used the slaves to be able to do the labor. If you ever go to Rome, you will see and you will witness evidence of buildings that was built way back in Paul's day that are still standing today. And the reason why they're still standing is because of the material that they used to build upon the foundation. Are you with me so far? So my question to you this morning, which one are you? Are you gold? Are you silver? Are you precious stones, wood, hay, or stubble? Let's look at the material. Can I break the material down? And I'm going to give you some Greek words and all that kind of stuff. Forgive me of the pronunciation. I'm not a Greek. I took Greek in college, and I thought I was really doing something because I was studying the Bible and to know the things that you have to know concerning the Bible. You got to study the Bible. If you want to share it with somebody else, you got to kind of know what you're talking about and know certain words that derive from words that pertains to the scripture and know what it actually means in Greek and Hebrew because that's what the Bible was written in. And so forgive me if I say some words and I butcher some of these words. But I'm going to try to give you the meaning of these words and make it practical to you the way you can understand what we're talking about in today's message. Which one are you? So the word gold is the Greek word chrysos, which means gold and describes the most valuable material that existed in the Roman Empire. Nothing was more expensive or costly than gold. Gold was extremely rare. Oh, man, that's good right there. I said, I start thinking about it a lot. Gold was extremely rare, especially before the time of Alexander the Great. Gold wasn't strong enough to be an actual building material, But if a building was extremely important, gold was used ornamentally on the outside relief of buildings and in the decor of its interior. Yeah. See, because gold makes stuff look pretty. Yeah. Was y'all in the service when I talked about the gold? Yeah. And we was talking about putting it in the crucible and how, you know, people think they really got some gold. People killing folk over 10K, and 10K ain't really got no gold in it, just a little speck of gold in it, and that the most expensive gold was the 24K, and then the 18K, and then, so y'all remember that message? And, but this word, so I just described gold. The word silver is the Greek word argyros, which often referred to silver money because silver was primary metal used for coins. However, silver was also used inside special buildings for ornamentation and decoration, similar to the way gold was used, and items for worship and prestige were often fashioned of silver. That's why when we do our communion, you see the silver bowls and all that kind of stuff as a fashion for worship and stuff like that, and symbols of prestige. The phrase precious stones in Greek is lithios, timios, from the word lithos, the Greek word for stone, and word timio, a Greek word meaning honorable, costly, or precious. So when Paul mentioned precious stone, he was not alluding to diamonds, rubies, emeralds, sapphires, or other gemstones. Paul was referring to expensive building material such as marble or granite. These materials were considered top of the line building materials because they could endure weather, fire, and time. Any building made to last was fashioned of marble or granite. And so if you go to Rome, you have to understand that they used a lot of precious stones, because these precious stones was able to endure time. And these precious stones was able to endure the weather. These y'all ain't gonna say nothing this morning. Y'all seem like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. And these precious stones was able to endure fire. And that's why I asked you a question, which one are you? Because gold and silver and precious stone or marble and granite were the most expensive and the highest quality materials used in construction of a building in Paul's day. These were durable, long-lasting, resilient materials. That's why buildings made of these materials are still standing today. Through the test of time, that these materials that were used and they was able to endure the weather elements and all those things that, and people are living in these buildings from one generation to the other. It was because of what they built upon the foundation that was already laid.
Yes, sir.
Let's look at the wood. It's the Greek word zulos. And it means wood, wooden timbers. Let me see what else it means. That's a lot of notes here. Branches of tree, boards, or anything made of wood. This same word was also used to depict fuel for fire. I don't know how many of y'all got a fireplace, but when you fire up your fireplace, you usually use
wood.
Oh, you usually use wood.
Right.
And so, this same word was also depict fuel for a fire. This word zulos describes a building composed of a cheap, temporary, perishable, burnable materials. You can quickly build such a building, but a house of wood is never built to last for the ages. This was the primary material used in the construction of slave dwellings in Rome. These wooden houses were homes that could go up in smoke very easily. The word hay is the word chortos, and it means grass or hay, This hay should never have been used as a construction material, but it was meant to be food that was fed to the animals. In fact, it was often used to mean fodder. In other words, this hay was meant to be eaten, not used for construction. Because it's fragile, a transitory nature, hay was considered to be the poorest material to use in construction. Yet, the slave homes of Rome, it was commonly used for the roof. Stubble. This is the Greek word kalemi, which simply means straw or stubble. This material was an inferior that animals wouldn't eat it. Yet, in the homes of slaves, it was used as floor coverings, as insulation, and as stuffings for beds. It was cheap, disposable, and replaceable. So my question to you again is, which one are you? Are you building on a foundation that is going to last from generation to generation? I don't know if you ever read in the Bible where it talks about your fruit.
Yeah.
Have you ever read that in the Bible when it talks about your fruits? And really in the Bible when it talks about your fruits, it's actually, I'm not talking about the fruits of the Spirit, but I'm talking about how you impact other people and how you bring other people in because of how you live your life and how you went and you discipled and you shared the Great Commission with people and how you were wise to win souls and stuff like that. That's a part of your fruit that can go from one generation to the other. But if you're not trying to do any of those things, then you might just be falling in that stubble category.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
Everything that you've done since you've been saved done already went up in smoke, and ain't nobody going to remember, and it's not going to be a lasting legacy that's going to endure from time after time. Are you really ministering to your children and building them up that they can go from one generation to another? See, what Paul was using as an illustration is saying, you are laborers with God, and you are a field, and your field should be a resource for other people. That this resource should be able to be passed down from one generation to the other, that it should be a reservoir as you go from one, because we're not going to always be here, right? So we're going to be passing through, because the Bible says that we're just pilgrims.
Yeah.
That we're not even of this world.
Yeah.
And even Paul understood that. He said to be absent in the body means to be present with the Lord. He knew he wasn't going to always be here all the time, but he knew that he needed to leave something here that can go from one generation to the other. And he even used his own resources to continue to write this book, some of these books that we got right now, that even this illustration, that these people back in the Roman Empire, that they knew that the materials that they needed to use to be able to endure the fire, to be able to endure the weather, to be able to endure other people coming in and trampling down and living in these places, that they're still present even today. But the hay and the stubble, it's already done went up in smoke. And you can't even find out where it used to be because it's already gone. There's no evidence that it ever existed. Are you with me now? Can I give you another illustration? Because you have to understand from one generation to the other that people are going to go through the same things that you're going through. And sometimes we think we're the only one going through, that we're the only one feeling depressed, that we're the only one feeling in despair, that we're the only one children actually want, and we're the only one that heart ain't got no money. That we, but it's somewhere your brother is going through the same. Have y'all ever read that in the Bible? That there's someone somewhere else that are going through the same thing that you're going through.
Okay.
And they're experiencing the same thing that you're going through. It was two houses.
Yeah. That's it.
That was built. One was on the sand, and there was one that was built on a solid foundation.
Yeah, read And
the one that was on the sand and the one that was on the solid foundation, they experienced the same thing. And the Bible said that when the wind came, that it beat up on the house vehemently. That means violently. That there was a violent beating up against these same two houses, but one chose to build on a solid foundation that was able to endure the boisterous wind and the storm that came. But the one that built his house up on the sand. I don't know which one of you. You could be gold. You could be silver. You could be precious stone, or you could be hay and stubble. I don't know. But he was warning the Corinthians. He said the foundation has already been laid. He said, but you be careful and take heed of what you build thereon to see will it be able to last throughout time. See, this takes some effort. See, if you're going to be a laborer with God, he says that my words are settled in the heavens, O Lord. You can read that in Psalms 119:89. He said, my word has already been laid. It's already here. But what I want you to do is take this word and begin to build something. I heard my wife say, pray for the men. And God knows we need to be praying for men in our nation, in our society, in our city, in our families, in our surrounding county, wherever the case may be. Because what the enemy is trying to do is to continue to have them build on a foundation that's right. Not going to last every time.
That's right.
Our children need our men.
Yes.
Our women need our men.
Yes.
We need our men in the churches.
Yes.
We need our men in the schools.
Yes.
We need our men in corporate America.
Yes.
We need our men everywhere that you look around.
Yes.
Because we need men to be the leaders that God called them to be. But if you're building your house with some hay and some stuff, it ain't gonna never last. You can't share nothing with your son because all he's seeing you going the easy way out.
Right.
You can go outside right now and go pick up some hay and some stuff. You can go down the alley and go get some pieces of wood. But boy, when it come through the fire. Them same building that they built millennia ago. They still standing right now. Because they knew that we needed to use the best materials. And I'm reminded that God, when he sent Jesus Christ, that chief cornerstone, that he sent his very best. Because he knew that we was going to go through some storms. He knew that there was going to be some raging fires that was going to come. He knew that there was going to be some tornadoes and some rain and some earthquakes and all of that. But he said, boy, if you build upon this foundation that's already been laid, I don't care how violently the storm come to beat up against your building.
Thank you, Lord. I read an article
that they hit a violent tornado. I think this was in Alabama. And during this tornado, this violent tornado, that when they came and looked at the damages that was made by this tornado, they said that when they looked at this house, that the foundation was still there. But there was a part of the house that was still standing.
Yes. Right.
And they said that Big Mama, they said that Big Mama used to be in that room right there. And they said that Big Mama would go over in the corner. And when they started assessing the house, they said that that was the cornerstone. They said that it was the cornerstone of the house.
My God.
And everything else was gone, but the cornerstone was still there. Right there. In this same house, there was not one death in the house.
Oh my God.
Because conclusion, you know it don't take me long.
It's all right.
The foundation under our lives is Jesus. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Say it again. Say Jesus.
Jesus.
But what we build on top of that foundation depends on our personal commitment and the level of excellence we demand of ourselves in every area of our lives. So I ask you once again, which one are you? Are you building something with your life that would be enduring? Or are you building so hastily and poorly that everything you've built could go up suddenly in a puff of smoke? How can I build? How am I building my marriage? How am I building my children? How am I building my relationships? How am I building my ministry? How am I building my business? How am I building my finances? How am I building my health? Because the foundation is already laid. And Paul said, let me use this illustration with the Corinthians. Because here it is, I'm a Roman citizen. And I go back and forth and I'm doing the things that God had called me to do. Because you know he had to have this encounter with Jesus Christ, the foundation itself. And once he had the encounter with the foundation and he realized what the foundation is. And what he started doing, he started coming out the blueprints. And people were reluctant to listen to him as a constructor because what he did was a church planner. And he had the blueprints of the construction, how to construct the building. And he said, here I am coming now. I know y'all once know me as this person right now. He said, but I'm coming to you now because I'm on the right construction team. And I have the blueprint of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. He said, but what I'm going to tell you about Christ himself, that I was coming down the road of Damascus and he got my attention and he gave me a new vision where I could learn how to read these blueprints. And now these same blueprints that I have, I want to share them with you. Because I want you to have something that's going to last forever. I'm not going to be here very long. But while I'm here, why don't you bring me a cloak and some parchment so I can continue to build upon these foundations that has already been laid. Just like the buildings that are still standing in Rome that has endured the test of time is the very evidence of how they built a lasting legacy from one generation to the other. So when I get the blueprints and I build upon a foundation that I know is sturdy, that's going to last through the test of time, then I can give these same blueprints to my son. Then he can give it to his son. Then he can give it to his son. Y'all know what I'm saying? Then he can give it to his son. And then he can give it, and then she can give it to her daughter. And then she can give it to her daughter. And then she can give it to her daughter. You see how it keeps standing from generation? That's part of your fruit. That's part of your fruit that remains. It says that your fruit shall remain. That's what it's talking about, that it can go from one generation to the other. That you learn them how to build on a foundation that's already been made.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And it stands.
Thank you.
Through the test of time.
Thank you, huh? Thank you.
See, teaching them how to be a dope dealer, that's not going to last. That's not going to last in smoke. And you're going to be calling Mr. Boone here to ask them to represent you and see can he buy the hay or struggle or whatever he needs to buy. Oh, no, 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 Mr. Boone already retired, so he retired. But he'll come out and rob a retainer with some type of fee. I'm pretty sure he'll turn some pages and he'll do some research for the right number. He'll say, okay, let me do some research and find a case that's similar to yours.
Yes. Jesus.
See? You. Mm-hmm. Teaching them how to do wrong, that's not going to last long. Teaching them how to do the new thing, that's not going to last long. Teaching them how to have their bridges hanging out, that's not going to last long. Why you judge them? I'm just telling you about the foundation.
Amen.
Something that's going to last from generation to generation. Just like little Lyrica was in her praying this morning.
Amen.
Somebody was teaching her how to pray. And she was repeating everything that she said. That's why she's different. That's why the kids don't understand her. Because she's already talking about God. She's already learning who God is. See, that's what I'm talking about. A solid foundation. The daddy's not supposed to be riding in the car with and say, "Here, man, roll this up." The daddy's not supposed to be riding with the son and tell him how to flip this and crush this and bag this up. That ain't gonna last long. Somebody say that ain't gonna last long. But a solid foundation that's gonna last from generation to generation. That's why our generation is doing the way it is, because they're not building on the foundation that has already been laid. And Paul said, let me use this illustration to let them know about these levels of materials that are used, and that to explain to them that if you use this type, then it will endure the test of time.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I hope this word bless you today.
Amen.
Which one are you?